Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Qualitative Research Six Qualitative Conversations. I am Jessica Lester, the current chair of the Qualitative Research SIG, and today I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. Janine Staples. Dr. Staples is an associate professor of literacy and language, African American studies, and women's gender and sexuality studies at Pennsylvania State University. She focuses on dismantling supremacist patriarchies through research, teaching, and coaching. As a sociocultural literacy scholar, Dr. Staples works to understand personal and public voices and stories to solve personal and public problems. She does this by engaging with research that engages with the evolutionary nature and function of literacies and texts through the discourses of narrative research. Her research exposes impetuses for various personal and social ills, such as racism, sexism, and ableism. She's published broadly, with her research being peer-reviewed and also published internationally. In addition, her teaching has been nationally acclaimed. She is a sought-after scholar, educator, and coach, and has received numerous awards and honors for her talents and contributions to the field of literacy studies. I share some of these awards here. There are many others. She's a recipient of the Ralph C. Preston Award for Scholarship in Teaching and Literacy Research in the Service of Social Justice from the University of Pennsylvania. She's also the recipient of the National Council of Teachers of English Early Career Educator of Color Leadership Award in 2008. Most recently, Dr. Staples was named a board member for the Africana Research Center at Penn State and a fellow for the Social Science Research Institute Children, Youth, and Family Consortium. Welcome, Dr. Staples. It is an honor to speak with you today.
Hello, Dr. Lester. Thank you so much for having me here. I appreciate the invitation.
Well, Dr. Staples, in your recent book, The Revelations of Asher, Towards Supreme Love and Self, you very powerfully engage with third wave new literacies. Can you talk a little bit about the scope of this book and the ways within which you engaged qualitative methodologies and theories?
Yes. So The Revelations of Asher, Towards Supreme Love and Self, and based on an ethnographic inquiry where I spent about 2 years working with a group of 10 women to understand better their terror narratives. And terror narratives are basically verbal accounts of relational and social terrors that take place over the lifespan. And so the scope of work is fairly broad in terms that it was a 2-year vested inquiry. And the women who participated self-described as African-American, post-adolescent young adults between the ages of 26 and 32, at the time. And I engaged with them so that I could learn a little bit more about the pain structures that manifest as a result of microaggressions, macroaggressions, and systemic aggressions that are steeped in racism, sexism, misogyny, ableism, and all kinds of other phobia that accost women from a physical perspective and also an emotive and psychological perspective. Mm-hmm.
In the book, you engage with what you refer to as ethereal logics. Can you describe for our listeners what this is and what it means to engage with ethereal logics?
Yeah, so I've just coined that term. I'm just starting to write about it. What I'm doing is I'm attempting to make sense of the ways that a white supremacist patriarchal ideology actually functions on the level of the soul. And also what kinds of spiritual dynamics it actually has, like from an ideological or epistemological space. So I've come up with the term ethereal logics to help me to nail down the ways that the ideology functions as a ubiquitous phenomenon. It's so big and so vacuous and also vaporous, as a matter of fact, that it is everywhere and nowhere at once. It has all of these reverberating effects on multiple planes. And so ethereal logics is a way for me to nail down some of the ways that white supremacist patriarchal ideology bears effect. So we know from the fields of biological sciences and epigenetics in particular that racism and sexism, just from an intersectional lens, bear a lot of effects on the body and bear a lot of effects on the psyche. But we're also learning that consciousness has a relationship to our historical narratives that actually are our genetic formation in relation to our consciousness, the development of our consciousness actually has these sort of ethereal tentacles that reach across generations, or something called intergenerational inheritance. And to make sense of an intergenerational inheritance, which would mean to make sense of how a woman could actually bear the effects of a racist or sexist or misogynistic terroristic event that her grandmother or great-great-great-grandmother experienced. So ethereal logic is a way for me to understand how those ideologies, those epistemologies, those ontological formations actually have these multi-level effects on personhood. And so the frame just helps me to figure out the rhyme and the reason, the rhythm and the scope of these ideologies and these epistemologies on the human experience.
That's really powerful. So for qualitative researchers that might be really new to this idea of ethereal logics, what would you suggest as a starting point for making sense of how to engage with these ideas?
Yeah, that's a really great point, a great question. So I recently produced, just about 4 or 5 months ago in September of 2017, I produced what's called a global virtual summit where I interviewed 28 scholars from around the country who talked about basically the strengths and struggles that people who are marginalized in academic and social spaces endure and bear upon the human soul, the human soma, and the human experience. And some of my colleagues, namely Beth Barilla, Kakali Bhattacharya, there are several people on that summit, I began to talk to help me to understand what I could say about ethereal logic. So if people were interested in it, it's basically a set of frames that I'm developing that's at an intersection around mindfulness. There are psychological tropes in there. There's a lot to do with anthropology. There's something around psychology in ethereal logics. There's a lot of theistic and spiritual sort of frames that are helping to nail down like sort of a frame and a list of what ethereal logics we can draw from to help us to understand the effects of these traumas. And so it's about reading into literature and mindfulness, literature and psychology, literacy and anthropology, and also different forms of philosophy and theology to help us to really bring them all together to understand what it is we're dealing with.
So you mentioned mindfulness. Can you talk a little bit about how you're currently envisioning the literature around mindfulness and the practice of mindfulness informing methodology?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, we're starting just to understand how important it is to bring in somatic and material understanding. I mean, the new materialists are doing that work. I think that there's a lot of work in ecology in new materialism though. And so what I'm saying is that when we think about mindfulness in the body, we think about mindfulness in terms of placing the body in a scope of nature, actually discovering positionalities in highly concretized material spaces, it helps us to just nail down what it is we're actually feeling as a result of the impacts of these ideologies and these systems. So mindfulness helps, for example, a person who's bearing a lot of somatic pain in her body to be in touch with what it is that pain brings to bear on her psyche, and how she comes to make meanings and generate memories in relation to those things. It's not really accessible, that knowledge base is not really accessible apart from mindfulness, simply because thinking about your trauma or thinking about your terror narrative from a psychological perspective doesn't do anything to relieve the pressure and the pain that one carries in relation to the narrative. So mindfulness is about not only helping us to understand the form and function of a terror, but also really provides us with frameworks or methodologies to relieving the pressure of the terror. And that's going to be really important just to experience relief and also a sense of self that can't be attained by people on the margins who are living in this hyper patriarchal and racist world.
I'm sure that many of our listeners would enjoy learning more about your work and thinking, particularly around this notion of ethereal logics and mindfulness, as it might engage with qualitative methodology. So what are some of the best ways that people can access and follow your work?
So the best way is to go to JeanineStaples.com. That's where I post most of my research in terms of my publications. That's where I post bibliographies for the summits that we produce, me and my team. I also give notice and notification around talks that I do globally from that space. And also people could fill out the contact form on that space and get in touch with my support team. If anyone would ever like to talk or set up a meeting or just have a conversation about what it is they read, either my blog or my academic writings, or any of the videotaped conversations that I have with colleagues all over the world.
Fantastic. And is there a particular publication that you would suggest individuals who are particularly interested in this notion of ethereal logic should start with?
I would say start with the Revelations. My book is a very great, it's a really solid foundation. I mean, it's odd for me to say that. It's sort of like, I don't know if I'm publishing myself here, but it really is a really solid foundation around the impetus for coming into the conversation around ethereal logics. It opens up space to understand the ways that personhood can be understood from a fragmented perspective. And those fragmentations that I articulate in the Revelations of Asher really illuminate how the personhood of girls and women gets fractured in this society as a result of our socialization and the acculturation that we bear because of a white supremacist patriarchal ideology. So it's a great place to help us to understand the complexity that makes ethereal logics necessary.
Powerful. Thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure to learn from you.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Take care.
You too.